It's something like the red carpet of maximum security prisons. ADX Florence, the supermax in Florence, Colorado, convicted terrorists Terry Nichols, Zacharias Moussaoui, Ramzi Youssef, and Theodore Kaczynski, among others, spend their lives in this facility that, like most prisons, is being asked to address mental health issues as well as terrorism and crime. The main treatment, solitary confinement. At times, Jack Powers spent more than a decade in isolation at ADX, writing about his experience. The world outside is like another planet. I feel like I am trapped within a disease. I could recount scores of cases here in Colorado and many others around the country, but in this week's case in point, the Marshall Project's Andrew Cohen reports that a settlement in a class action lawsuit brought by a group of mentally ill prisoners against federal prison officials may be as much of a landmark as any decision in the last century. I spoke with Andrew Cohen from the Marshall Project and Dr. Terry Cooper's Institute Professor at the Wright Institute in Oakland and author of Solitary, Supermax Isolation, and the Future of Prison Rehabilitation, forthcoming from the University of California Press. Cooper says the culture of prisons is changing.
We have seen a massive growth in the population of prisoners with serious mental illness since the 1970s. And it's attached to deinstitutionalization, the downsizing or closing of mental hospitals, the war on drugs, because a lot of people with mental illness are also abusing substances, and a relative defunding of public mental health services. So people with serious mental illness fall through the cracks and eventually end up in the criminal justice system. Inside prison, they then selectively end up in solitary confinement.
Andrew Cohen, in the case that you describe here, this class action, first of all, how did it get to be a class action? And secondly, how did the individuals who are the plaintiffs here have the wherewithal to pull this off?
Ed Arrow, an attorney with Arnold Porter, was very actively involved in hearing about these cases. The prisoners themselves had been writing pro se complaints without the help of lawyers, trying to get relief, trying to get help from the Federal Bureau of Prisons. They were unsuccessful in doing so. And then somehow they were able to come together and, for the most part, stay together. Not all of the plaintiffs who initially were plaintiffs 5 years ago when the lawsuit was filed are still plaintiffs. Some have been released. Some have been given the sort of relief that they were hoping for. But obviously, it's a much bigger problem than just a handful of people. And part of the reason why we picked this story is because this is a solution. This is the federal government responding to litigation in a way that's pretty significant.
What are we on the verge of, do you think, in this case, in terms of changing the precedents for the use of solitary and all aspects of mental health and discipline in prisons?
This is a huge landmark case that has the potential to be, because what you're doing is you are beginning to change a culture within the Federal Bureau of Prisons that made fun of mentally ill prisoners, that derided them, that punished them for being mentally ill, that took away their medicine, and then when they invariably got worse, punished them, that allowed them to sit in their own filth and waste for days or weeks on end. That culture can't change in a day or a week, but this is the sort of settlement with oversight and with all sorts of accountability provisions built into it that could change Supermax. And if it changes Supermax, where the worst of the worst are housed, you would think eventually that's going to trickle down to all the many other federal facilities, some of which do a better job than others around the federal system dealing with mental health. Mental health in prisons and jails is an enormous issue in criminal justice, and this is basically the bell cow for the whole system.
Dr. Cooper's, is there an inmate, a particular character who might have at one time been a plaintiff in this lawsuit who believed in this case and has from the beginning, who you can actually focus an image of their face in your own mind about how much this means?
I can't name one, but what they're going to experience is removal from isolation, which was exacerbating their mental symptoms greatly. And then one hopes they will receive adequate mental health care in a setting that's more peaceful, and they'll be able to improve their condition significantly.
Back in the day, if you were mentally ill as a prisoner at this particular federal prison, and you were lucky enough to get a therapy session, you were taken out, you were surrounded by guards, you were shackled from behind, and you were allowed to talk to a therapist. There was no privacy. There was no privacy even from the guards. Other prisoners might be able to hear you. The idea that that was going to generate productive therapy that was going to help somebody with a mental illness was absurd. And that's going to go away, or should go away, if this settlement or when this settlement is approved. There's going to be these individual counseling rooms. There's going to be the ability to have a little modicum of privacy for these men when they do their therapy. That's just one small example of the change.
With so much talk about government not working, I want to thank both of you for just allowing me to have a conversation with two people who are observing the functionality of the judiciary. How good does this make you feel? And again, it's maybe a little premature, that the people are responding correctly, appropriately, that this is moving forward as opposed to just being stalled.
This lawsuit now makes it mandatory that they be examined, that those with mental illness and those who are suicidal be given the treatment that their condition requires. That's going to improve the situation a lot. But as I said before, this is a special population, people with mental illness. The other prisoners are also being harmed by this. And though they might not be overtly psychotic or actually suicidal, there's a lot of self-harm going on. There's a lot of very high anxiety. There's a lot of very dysfunctional people in isolation. And what's needed is really to stop isolation altogether.
Final thoughts, Andrew Cohen?
The change in culture, the change in perception from the Justice Department and the Bureau of Prisons is a significant shift. And the big question for me going forward, regardless of how this deal or this case plays out, is that going to change with a new head of a Justice Department and perhaps a new head of the Bureau of Prisons going forward in the Trump administration? This deal will still be this deal if it's signed, right? The Trump administration can't go back on it. Jeff Sessions, if he's approved to be the head of the Justice Department, can't go back on it. But the culture that is shifting in one direction, it'll be interesting to see if that shift continues.
Andrew, Terry, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.